The 2016 presidential election was frustrating for Democrats and progressives on many levels, but one that is a recurring theme has to do with the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but Donald Trump won the Electoral College, and that has led to a growing number of people calling for changes to the system or completely blowing it all up. Neither seems likely to happen, but that has not quelled the frustration. Professor Edward Foley of Ohio State University has written about how the Electoral College was created and what modifications today would actually make sense in his new book, Presidential Elections and Majority Rule. Ned, let's begin with a brief history. There were two early systems, right?
The best way to think about it is the two individuals that each version had in mind. So version number one was designed with George Washington in mind. They knew he would be the first winner, and what they liked about him was the idea that he would be a consensus choice above party. It worked while he was in office, and then the whole system fell apart. And by, you know, by 1796, you had intense two-party competition, kind of like we have today. It's, you know, team A versus team B, us versus them, and it was intense. I mean, we think politics today is polarized, and it is. But it was super polarized back then because the Federalist Party, that's John Adams, that's Alexander Hamilton, they're thinking Thomas Jefferson and his allies are like the French Revolution, the Jacobins. I mean, they think they're, you know, evil in terms of their political values. And they run two presidential elections that way. 1796, Adams and the Federalists win. And then 1800, Jefferson and his running mate, Aaron Burr, get the most votes. They're the majority choice, but because of the architecture of the original system, it ends in this disastrous tie between Jefferson and his own running mate, Burr. So the crisis gets resolved by acknowledging that Thomas Jefferson belongs in the White House. His party has enough votes in Congress to rewrite the system. And they rewrite it with a new image in mind. The new image is we're not going to have a consensus choice anymore, George Washington. It's going to be us versus them. But in that competitive environment, it should be us, not them. Why? Not just because we're the party in control, but because we think we have the mantle of majority rule. But their concept of majority rule is built for a federal republic, a United States of America. So you get that Electoral College majority, that magic number, which today is 270, mm-hmm. but the constitutional principle is majority. And you're supposed to build it with state-based majorities.
But let me jump to where we are today, where we're hearing more and more people talk about frustration with the system. Of late, it's been on the Democratic side. Is there an appetite for reform of the Electoral College? Does it, in essence, come down to partisanship, as so much does these days? Or are there people on both sides who think, yeah, we might need a different system?
Gallup has done polling back in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and there's always been overwhelming support for either amending the Constitution or just getting rid of the Electoral College to go to some version of a national popular vote. But it's very difficult to amend the Constitution. Again, the Jeffersonians were able to do it because they had so much majority clout. But parties today, we're closely divided. And so no party can control, and there isn't an exact consensus on what the reform should be. So my proposal, which we might get to, is a version of state-based legislation, which is consistent with the Constitution, would bring us back to the Jeffersonian vision of majority rule. But one reason why I think there's a desire for reform, there is this sense that there's a disconnect between what the Electoral College is doing and what it should do. Most of the current disconnect is focused on this discrepancy between Electoral College results and the national popular vote. But again, they didn't want just a complete monolithic national vote, neither in the original version or the revised version, the Jeffersonian version, because they wanted this federal system where you built a national majority through the Electoral College with your state-based system. We've deviated from the Jefferson plan by going to something called plurality winner-take-all at the state level. That's a mouthful, but plurality means more than anybody else. It doesn't mean a majority. A majority means you cross the 50% margin and you have 51%, 52%, 60%, whatever. You get more votes than the entire rest of the field. So, and they wanted that mantle of majority because that's what they thought democracy was. People's choice meant majority choice. But in a world of two, remember, they went from a world where they didn't think there would be parties at all to two parties, in a world of two-party competition where it's only us versus them, more is definitely a majority, right? Mm-hmm. Mathematically, if you have more, you have more than 50%. They didn't envision the possibility of third parties or independent candidates because they were just dealing with the transition to a two-party world. Where things have kind of gone wrong in terms of the Jeffersonian vision is the rise of independents and third parties in a way that our system can't handle. 2016 is another version of that. Most people don't realize that because they focus on this discrepancy between the national popular vote. Yes, Hillary Clinton won more votes nationwide by almost 3 million, but nobody won a national majority. She won a national plurality. But the key thing is that Donald Trump doesn't get his electoral vote majority without state-based pluralities. He's not winning 50% in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Florida, and North Carolina, six critical battleground states, which will be battlegrounds again this year. And he's winning with less than 50% of the vote.
You mentioned that Arizona is very much expected to be a battleground state. We hear the term purple state quite often. So what could a state like Arizona do if it were so inclined to make the sort of reforms you're talking about?
Go back to the majority rule principle. That's how the system was designed. And then choose your preferred way of doing it. So one possibility would be an old-fashioned runoff. In fact, states in the beginning of the country, Massachusetts and New Hampshire, were saying you can't be an elector representing the whole state unless you reach 50%, because you don't really represent the state if you're at 40% or 45%. So if listeners are familiar with the so-called top two primary system that California uses mm-hmm. and Washington State uses, something like that could be built in at the state level for how the state chooses its electors.
Is there anything that could happen in the 2020 election that would be so different and so frustrating to people based on electoral college that you might see more states between 2020 and 2024 say, that's it, we need to do something now?
Sure. I do think there is a growing impetus for reform. This so-called national popular vote compact idea has gained some momentum. The problem with that plan is it doesn't take effect unless enough states sign on. So it's like it's meaningless unless you hit the magic number, and it hasn't hit the magic number this year. Maybe it will if people think the system is broken again this year. But the problem with the compact is it doesn't solve this plurality versus majority, because it would give the whole election to a national plurality winner. So if you did have a three-way split and somebody won the national vote with only 38% or 42%, the compact gives it to them. You know, imagine a candidate winning nationwide with 40% and the other two candidates splitting the rest. Is that really what you want for president? The best reform is a majority rule-based reform, in my judgment.
That is Edward Foley. He is author of Presidential Elections and Majority Rule, The Rise, Demise, and Potential Restoration of the Jeffersonian Electoral College. Professor Foley, great to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.